Okay. At the end of this week's sixth week's parsha, we have the introduction to Mila. Something in noticing this time around in reading the parsha, I noticed something that I had seen before thematically, Api Chazal, but not in the psukim. I'd like to start as a way of introduction. In Perek Yitzayin, Pasuk Zayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduces the mitzvah of Mila, of course, is a bris. V'akimosi es grisi b'ni u'v'necho, v'en zaracha acharecha l'dor osam, v'vris olam, v'yos l'cha l'kim l'zaracha acharecha. And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes what he's going to give us, and what we're going to give him. Pasuk Ches, v'nasati l'cha l'zaracha acharecha, es eretz migurecha. I'm going to give to you eretz migurecha, es kol eretz kanan l'achuzas olam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu then starts again. Vayomer Elokim al Avram, v'ata es brisi tishmar, ata v'zaracha acharecha l'dor osam. And zos brisi, this is the bris. So it sounds like there are two parts that are going on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the one hand speaks about the hachnosa into Eretz Yisrael, as if you keep the bris, so then I will give you Eretz Yisrael. And what I'm asking you, this bris is Unmalta Mes Besar Laskam. So it's interesting that the Torah connects the notion of Eretz Yisrael to the mitzvah of Bris Mila. But even more than that, the Gemara tells us that the mitzvah of Mila that was given to Avram Avinu, the Gemara Yivamos tells us, Dafayim Beis, I believe, the Gemara tells us that that mitzvah changed when it was given again after Klal Yisrael again resumed doing the mitzvah of Mila when they had ceased in the Midbar, and that mitzvah was given again with the mitzvah of Priya. So it's very interesting, when we re-enter Eretz Yisrael there is a hischatshus of the mitzvah of Mila, and now we have the mitzvah of Priya. So Be'ezer Hashem tonight what I'd like to discuss is some basic lumdus in the mitzvah of Mila, and then come back to see what its relationship is with Eretz Yisrael and the nature of the mitzvah of Mila and Priya. The most celebrated rave in the mitzvah of Mila is, of course, the shita of the shach that's discussed as well by the Ktzos HaChoshen in Simon Kuf Pei Beis, I believe, in Choshen Mishpat, where the shach was of the opinion that the mitzvah of Mila is a mitzvah shebegufo on the father. That me'ikar d'dina, the father has a chiyuv to be mal his child. It's a chiyuv mitzvah shebegufo. And it's not something that could be passed off to a mo'el. So how come there's such a thing as a mo'el? Well, that's for a father. It can't be mekayimet. If a father didn't learn how to do Mila, so then in such a case he doesn't do it and be mekayimet. But lechatchila he's supposed to. Now this comes to the fore in a rush. In the shach and the ktsos challenge a rush. The rush quotes Rabbeinu Tam that says that let's say the father Yaakov hires a moel to be Malchus's child, and then in such a case he hires Reuven, and Shimon comes along and Shimon chaps the mitzvah. So in such a case, Rabbeinu Tam says there isn't a chiyuv to pass her zehuvim. The Rosh adds in Perek Vav of Chulin, in Simen Ches, the Rosh says that what's the reason that you wouldn't have to pass her zehuvim? So Rabbeinu Tam says, well, at the end of the day, the chiyuv of Asar Zehuvim that the Gemara learns out over there is because of the bracha. So if the father just answers Amen, so then in such a case he's not losing out. However, the Rosh goes a step further. And the Rosh says, no, the reason is because at the end of the day, the chiyuv is on everybody to do the Mila. So it's not Reuven's mitzvah, it's just as much Shimon's mitzvah. We all know that the Gemara in Kedushin tells us that the chiyuv is also on Klal Yisrael. If the father is not Mal, so then the chiyuv is on Klal Yisrael. So the father is basically saying, I'm not going to be Mal. He's asking Reuven to do it. So let Shimon do it. Gilui Mar Mechamim to Akasha.
Which bracha are we talking about?
Presumably, we're talking about Alamim, the first bracha of Alamim. So what's the kasha? The kasha is, but wait a second. Comes along the Tzos and the Shach, they all ask. But wait a second, they ask on the Rosh Hashanah and they say at the end of the day, but there is a mitzvah that's being lost. And that is that if the father sent Reuven, so then in such a case, he no longer gets the mitzvah as the mishaleach. He's making a shliach, and Shimon, he didn't make Shimon the shliach. So if Reuven does his shlichus, so then it's sent back. But otherwise, it's not going to work, says the Shachin Tzos. So they say, well, I'll tell you the answer. I'll tell you why in such a case, the here is not Shach. You know why it's not Shach? Because you can never make a Shliach for Mila. That's what's going on over here behind Rabbeinu Tam. You can never make a Shliach for a Mila. Because at the end of the day, the Shachin Tzos assume that the mitzvah of Mila is a mitzvah shebegufo. And hence, the fact that you made Reuven the shliach, that doesn't work. You know, they say a joke that there was a, whenever we talk about Mr. Shibagufo, we tell this joke. There's once a rich person who lost a relative, and he was too busy. He had a business trip. It wasn't a relative that he was very close with, but he was nominally religious, so he felt a little guilty that he really didn't want to sit Shiva. He wanted to go on a business trip, so he called the rabbi and asked the rabbi if he could pay him to sit Shiva for him. They say that when he came back from his trip in China, he called the rabbi back and he asked if he should be Menachem Avolim. There's some mitzvahs that are mitzvah shevagufo that you can't pass off. So the shach and the tzos are mechadesh that Mila is actually one of those mitzvahs. So the father's an onus, and then in such a case, he passes it off. In fact, there's a long tradition of being choshesh. This is a story, this is an uncensored story that they say. It's a legend. I don't know if it's true. Legend has it that Reb Chaim attempted to be mal on his own, his first child. That's what they say, because Reb Chaim felt that in Svara, the Shach and the Tzos were right, and that the Netziv came the night before the brith, and the Netziv was the grandfather. The godless of Reb Chaim, of course, was that he married into the Netziv's family, even though his father and the Netziv had a machlokas l'shem shemayim. That's why there's no remnant, the godless of Reb Chaim, there's no remnant of that machlokas. Absolutely no remnant of that machlokas, which is a simon l'machreya, that it was also a machlokas l'shem shemayim. I get a little emotional sometimes when I think about it. It's an absolutely amazing thing. It was a very, very deep machlokas. And Reb Chaim Begaduso, the machlokas, so the Netziv was at the bris. I don't know if the Beis Halevi was, so that he came beforehand, the night before, and the Netziv said to him, my dear Einikol, he's married to Netziv's granddaughter, he said to him, if you're doing the Mila again, I'm not coming to the bris. So that Reb Chaim had to back down from, and Reb Chaim never did it. But just to show how seriously Reb Chaim took this sheet of the Tzos and the Shach. That's the legend that they say. Either way, there is a fundamental machlokis over here of how you look at the mitzvah of Mila. So I had always wondered where the sheet of the Rush and the others could be found. At the end of the day, L'chura, Reb Chaim is right. The story of the Shach and the Tzos makes sense. The chiyuv is clearly on the father, and l'chura, one should say that it's a l'chatchila, a mitzvah shebegufo on the father. So I thought, and later I was happy to see that some allude to this idea. I thought l'chura, this issue might be connected. L'chol ha'pachos, there will be some. We'll find some shitas harishonim that seem to agree that the mitzvah of Mila is not a mitzvah shebegufo the way the mitzvah of tefillin is. And there's a famous Tosos on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph. Yes,
and just So, doesn't the Gemara in the first half of Psachim, when it's going through the Nusach HaBrachos,
mm-hmm.
speaks about the Bracha of Milah?
Right.
And it sounds like from there that so the Maul does it. It sounds like it's clear from there.
The right, no, the answer to that question is the Chura Pashit. Even at the end of the day, most of Reb Chaim's children's Milah was done by the Maul. In other words, he was convinced that it wasn't worth the risk to do it. So that's why there's a Maul, but not because of the nature of the Chiyuv.
It's onus.
Right, it's a Betur onus. Correct. Betur onus, that's a Mahal. So I thought in Lamdas one could connect to another famous discussion. Tosos on Chav Tes Amid Aleph in Kedushin deals with the problem that we learn from the pasuk in next week's parsha, Kasher Tzivo Oso Elokim, that the chiyuv is dafka on the father and not the mother. Oso v'lo osa. So Tosos asks, why do you need Gzeres HaKosuv, Kasher Tzivo Oso Elokim? Isn't it a mitzvah sasesha esman grama? Why don't we say that the mitzvah of Mila is a mitzvah sasesha esman grama? In Tomar, lomali kra, typically the mitzvah sasesha esman grama, ushinimo bishmini le'edas v'nashim turas. Tosfos answers that question. It goes on forever. Okay, there's a lot of iyun in the Hagdar of Zman Grama from there. We're not going to discuss that. Here's the question I'd like to spend a little more time on. Akati mitzvah sasesha zman gramahu. De ein molin ela bayom. Mila is only done by day. So Tosfos asks, it's a mitzvah sasesha zman grama. And that's why Nashim are pterus, not because of oso v'lo osa. So Tosfos gives an answer that a lot of the Rishonim don't like, because Tosfos puts himself in the corner to answer that question. He makes the Gemara Shaloh leave the Hilchasa, which is really difficult. He says, well, the Gemara has to be going according to the Manda Omer that says the Mila is Bayom and Balayla. We don't pass in that way. We understand that Mila is only Bayom. So if you don't accept Tosfos' answer, it's Hadran Kushya L'duchte, how could it be that we have a separate Gzeres HaKosov Oso V'lo Osa, isn't it a mitzvah sasesha esman grama? So there are quite a few terutz into this question. The most dramatic terutz, which I think one needs to put together, one can put together into the machlokas, is the terutz of the Tosfos Rid. Tosfos Rid answers Tosfos' question and says no. The mitzvah of Mila is not, the mitzvah is not for the father to have the child's arla removed on the eighth day. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah doesn't start on the eighth day. The mitzvah, says the Tosfos Rid, is the father getting ready and making sure that his child will not have an arla on day eight. Which means that when Rabbi Yehoshua calls the mo, you're not planning to do the mila. Okay. So when that means that the mitzvah is not, he could do it on the fourth day. If he calls the mo'el on the fourth day as well, so that according to the Tosfos Rid is all bechlal the father's mitzvah of mila. All of that is bechlal the mitzvah. It's not dafka on the eighth day. Hence, it's not a mitzvah sasesha zman grama. It's true that he has to arrange that the arla is going to be removed on the day of the eighth. However, the father's kiyum is a kiyum which takes place in his ishtadlus. Here's the lamdus, the ishtadlus to make sure that the child is not an orel. That's so it's not just a seisha as mangrami. You could take care. You could do that ishtadlus at night as well. It's a very, very beautiful idea of the Tosfos Rid. An absolutely beautiful Tosfos Rid. So Alatar over here, a well known teretz. So I always thought that at least, according to the Tosfos Rid, Bechura, at least we have a Makor Mefurish without the pilpul and the rush. Makor Mefurish in the Rishonim that the mitzvah is not a mitzvah shebegufo. Could be Tosfos might be assuming it's a mitzvah shebegufo, but at least there is Tosfos Rid that assumes that it's not a mitzvah shebegufo, that the mitzvah is the ishtadlus to make sure that the child is a mo. The ishtadlus for the Mila. Oh, so now we have a certain Mahalach, the Tosfos Rid's Mahalach. Now I'd like to go a step further and show the Tosfos Rid's Mahalach might also be connected to another important Yisod in terms of Mila. Yes,
It would also answer the question that the Shach asks on the Rosh's case, because you would say that no, you don't need to have the Baal is not doing the mitzvah; it's the father who's doing the mitzvah because he's being the shtad.
Right. Correct. Correct.
So you wouldn't pay tazum because.
Because excellent, correct, nachon, correct, beautiful. So I thought that this Yisrael Tosfos Rid also is another famous Lomdish Shita. It's well known that the Tur and the Rambam have a fundamental machlokis about the tzitzin she'enon me'akfin. We know that there's a part of the mi'ila that has to be cut lechatchila, and then there's a tzitzin she'enon me'akfin that also has to be cut, and that the Gemara learns out in Kuflam Gimel and Shabbos, but that's a hider mitzvah. So the Rambam holds that if you didn't cut the tzitzin, shein, and ma'akvin, so then in such a case you don't go back. However, the Tur says that you do go back in such a case. So Beis Halevi in Chelek Beis Simin Mem Zayin explains the machlokas not the way his grandson, the Brisker Rav, explained the machlokas. The Beis Halevi says in the yeshivas, I remember in high school, what they said over is the Brisker Rav, because that's a standard chakir in Zakei V'Anveyu. But we're going to make more of a deal of the Beis Halevi's mahalach. The Beis Halevi's mahalach is like this. The Beis Halevi says, what's the machlokas? The Rambam holds that you can't go back, and the Tur holds that you can go back. So Beis Halevi claims that the pshat in the Tur is that the Tur holds that there's tzvei dinim in the mitzvah of mila. One din in the mitzvah of mila is that there is a mitzvah of the maisa mila. However, the Beis Halevi says there's another component, and that component of the mitzvah of mila is, he claims, a mitzvah nimsheches. The mitzvah is mamshich. The mitzvah goes on and on. The Gemara Menachos describes that David HaMelech was going to Merchatz and he felt alone without mitzvahs. And then he realized that he had the mitzvah of Mila. The mitzvah of Mila is always with him. So that's a discussion, how you understand that Gemara. But the Beis Halevi is Mechadesh, a fascinating idea. And it's not only the Beis Halevi in the Tshuvas, but the Beis Halevi elaborates this Ala Torah on this week's Parsha. And he says that the Hoysa Brisi Bivsarchem, the bris is going to be in your basar, that the mitzvah is with us la'olam vayad. It's not a mitzvah that stops with the ma'isa mila. The mitzvah goes on forever. Hence, you could go back, because the mitzvah is nimshechas. The mitzvah is not concluded. That's the Beis Halevi's mahalach, and that fits, the second din fits into the Tosfos Rid. According to the Beis Halevi, it sounds like there might be two bechinas, but at least the second din applies. In fact, it might fit even more smoothly in the pre-Yitzchak. He actually wrote a letter. There is a give and take between the Beis Halevi and the Shas HaTshuvas pre-Yitzchak, the Chelek Beis Simon Lamed. The pre-Yitzchak responds back to the Beis Halevi, and the pre-Yitzchak writes that the mitzvah of Mila is not a mitzvah that is something positive, but he says it's just simply the Hasara Sa'arla. It's Hasara Sa'arla. It's not that there's any kiyum that takes place, but simply Hasara Sa'arla. Now, it could very well be that the Tosfos Rid Yisod, that the father has to make sure that the child is what? That the child is not an Arel. It's not that there's a din chiyuvi that's taking place. That's a machlokis achronim. But either way, either you have one din, according to the Beis Halevi, that corresponds to the Tosfos Rid, or even further, it could be that the pre-Yitzchak's whole shita, where he disagrees with the Beis Halevi, who claims that's a ma'isa nimsheches, he says it's not nimsheches at all, the mitzvah just is a hasaras arla. According to the pre-Yitzchak, the Tosfos Rid's mahalach fits in beautifully. But even if you're going to go like the Beis Halevi, what you also see is that it's not just the mitzvah shebegufo. There's also another din that's at play, and that other din is the fact that the child is a mohel, according to this. According to the pre-Yitzchak, he doesn't have an arla. But either way, it's not just simply that there is a mitzvah shebegufo.
Didn't they say that he used the arla? Use that language?
My understanding was that that there's more than that. That's the mitzvah of shechet.
Right.
No, the hasaras, right. No. The hasaras are, we're going to get back to that. Hasaras are, what he's talking about is the maisa. As opposed to, the pre-Yitzchak is saying more. The pre-Yitzchak is saying different. Pre-Yitzchak is saying that it's just that the mitzvah is to make sure that the child is, does not have an aura. No, I think Beis HaLevi is saying that there's a maisa mitzvah as well. Yeah.
According to Tosfot Rid, the preparatory stuff that he's doing, that's not a hafshir mitzvah, it's part of the mitzvah itself.
That's it's a chev.
So why isn't he over lasiat and say the bracha?
No, so the answer to that question, is that the culmination of it is at the time of Mila. In other words, l'mafreya is nisgal. There's no, according to Tosfot Rid, the way I understand it, is there's no moment. Let me think of a proper formulation. I'm not bothered by your question, but I need to formulate properly. Gil is asking like this. Gil is asking at the end of the day, so then why is the bracha right before the chituch itself, if we're going to say that the mitzvah is the father's ishtabas to make sure that it's not, that the child is not an arlo. Presumably the moment in which it reaches its chalos is the moment that you make the bracha. Anything else is too amorphic.
Is there anything else that's like that? It's
a fascinating process, right? No question. It's fascinating. Yeah.
It might be a little bit parallel to what we do, no contrary to the Yerushalmi in terms of sukkahs.
Yeah.
In other words, there's an idea of making a bracha according to Yerushalmi when you build the sukkah, we have to do that.
Right,
so
similar type. You're right, that Yerushalmi is a parallel. Nachon, that even the Bavli has such an opinion that you make a bracha. Right. Okay, so that I was happy to see Taka Rav Asher Weiss says what I just said, that that this discussion between the Beis HaLevi and the Pre-Yitzchak is also related to the Tosfos Rit. Rav Asher Weiss goes a step further. He quotes a fascinating machlokis. And this, I think, will bring everything full circle. Bezer Hashem. There is a machlokis between the Divrei Chaim and the Chochmas Adam, and a fascinating shaila. What happens if you have an instance where the father, the moel, only cuts a drop of the arla to the point that if he would just cut that, it would not even remove the tzitzinama akfin, and then through priya, he's megala the artara. Through priya, he's then megala the artara. He cuts a tiny bit. Let me just be masber the biology. In terms of the biology, there's the foreskin, which was the mitzvah of mila, and there, that's the top layer. That's the mitzvah of mila. And the mitzvah of priya that was neschadish in the time of Yoshua is to remove a skin that's under it. Now that skin is pushed down. We're going to get back to that. The skin, that foreskin is pushed down. That is not something that's removed. So comes along the Divrei Chaim, and the Divrei Chaim says, okay, not a problem. Shas Tshuvas Divrei Chaim says in such a case that wouldn't be a shaila. You could be yotzei the mitzvah of mila in such a case. The Chochmas Adam says not that way. The Chochmas Adam says that in such an instance, the moel has to go back and remove the skin that was pushed down. That was the arla. So, first of all, in Lamdus, it's fascinating. And here we could spend a lot of time trying to figure out if it's exactly tolu or not. But it sounds like that this machlokas is very reminiscent of the issue of what the mitzvah is. Is the mitzvah simply the giluy, the giluy of the removing the arla? In other words, that the arla is not there, or there's a positive mitzvah of hasaras haarla. Is it just giluy haatara? That's how the Divrei Chaim is understanding it. That once there's giluy haatara, it's fine. Chochmas Adam says no. That giluy ha is not enough. There has to be an active hasaras ha'arla. That's the machlokis between the Divrei Chaim and the Chochmas Adam. Now this Rabbi Weiss quotes in the Minchas Asher, and he asks a kasha. Beis Hashem, in the next few minutes, I'd like to try to be miyashiv Rabbi Weiss's kasha and bring in another parallel machlokes. Interestingly, if you look over there, Rabbi Weiss claims that there are times, biologically, if God forbid the child is sick, ayin sham, that they actually prefer not to remove the arla entirely and to leave it. So he said there are instances today that they rely on the Divrei Chaim. He says you can rely on it, but he has a kasha on the Divrei Chaim. And he asks the following kasha from the Pesukim themselves. Well, actually the Targum. How does the Targum translate the word Mila? So the Targum describes it in, for example, in Yud Gimel, Iskazru Yiskazrun. The mitzvah is to cut off. So frek the Minchas Asher, at the end of the day, Mila is what? Mila is actually, it's not simply the Gilui Atara. It's the Gzeira. It's cutting it off. So how could it possibly be that the Divrei Chaim says that if you didn't cut off enough, that then it's enough? But wait a second. We have over here the not simply the Gilui Atara. Mamish, it has to be Nigzer. The Arla has to be removed. So Rabbi Osler, I'd like to be Mechadesh with you a drop, and I'd like to suggest the following teretz. Let me present it as a chakira. We mentioned that the Gemara in Yevamos tells us that after in Perek Ha'orel, the Gemara mentions that after Yehoshua came into Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael was Mechadesh, the mitzvah of Mila, with an added dimension, the Priya. And we explain what the difference between the Mila and the Priya is. So here's my chakira. What's the pshat? This is a new terrain, so I want to hear what the Davrei Chaim HaYikarim have to say about this. What's the pshat when we were given the mitzvah of Priya? Is the pshat that the mitzvah of Mila was entirely redefined? Or, no, there's tzvei dinim. There was once a mitzvah of Mila that was given to Avraham Avinu. And then there was another mitzvah called that was added on to it called Priya. Let me give you a couple of Gishmak and Afkaminos. The Yamshel Shlomo in Perek Ha'aril, Simin Gimel, writes that if someone, Reuven, wants to do the Mila on Shabbos, but he doesn't know how to do the Priya, and Shimon is going to do the Priya, Reuven's going to do the cutting, Shimon's going to do the Priya. This will come up also in the cases that sometimes the fathers want to use the clamp. So that might be relevant. I say Belashin Ulay. So what happens if Reuven's going to do the Mila and Shimon the Priya? Zok to Yam Shel Shlomo, say Isur Daraisa and Shabbos for Reuven to do the Chitoch. Why? Because when he is daiti, the pshat in the Yam Shel Shlomo is that once the mitzvah of Priya was given, it's not the pshat that there were two mitzvahs, but rather the Priya redefined what the mitzvah of Mila is. There's a new mitzvah. The natural way to do it might be to first do the Mila, to cut a little bit of the Arla, to throw it away, and then to do the Priya, to get the Gilui Atara. So Lanias Daiti, we can be miyashev the Divrei Chaim against Rav Asher Weiss's Shlita Kasha, and how can we be miyashev and say like this? We could say that it's true that the Torah in Parshas Lech Lecha is magdir the mitzvah as what? As a mitzvah of chitov. However, once it was chazra v'nishnas as a pun, we've already done this before, but once it was Nischadesh, you say for Yehoshua through the mitzvah of Priya, so then it's a new mitzvah, and Einach Hanami, the Chituch, is not going to be Ma'akeh. I have a Shagasariyeh on my side. Shagasariyeh has, and not only that, I think a Rambam too. Shagasariyeh has a bomb kasha on the Rambam. The Rambam writes that we know that according to the Rambam, there's a mitzvah for B'nai Keturah to have Mila as well. Shagasariyeh asks, but wait a second. There's a Mishnah Nedarim where the Mishnah Nedarim writes, Hanoder me'areilim, if somebody says that he's not going to have hanoah from areilim, he's usher to all goyim in the world. Ask the Shagasari if the Rambam is right that the mitzvah of Mila still applies to Bnei Keturah. So then, why should he usher to all areilim in the world? He should be usher to whom? He should be usher only to goyim, but not Bnei Keturah. Bnei Keturah should be mutter to him. Zok the Shagasariye Priya. He says, once we had the mitzvah of Priya, so to vis-a-vis a Jew, a goy is considered a full-fledged RL. So the Shagasariye is half of what I was suggesting and half of the Yom Shor Shalom. It's not entirely, but it's along those lines. The Shagasariye suggests that once you have the mitzvah of Priya, so then in such a case, someone who has just the Chituch, so then in such a case, a full din of Arel. That's only a stone's throw away of saying that the whole mitzvah of Mila today is Priya. Yes?
Did the answer, the Shagasari's answer didn't define whether it's an addition or like a recreation, right?
Well, it sounds very close to a recreation.
If it's just an addition, they're just not considered because they don't have.
But they're still not Arelim. In other words, the conventional way of understanding the Gemara and Yevamos, the conventional way of understanding it is that a person that has only Chituch is no longer an Ara. But there was a new Kiyum HaMitzvah to do also the Priya as well. Comes along the Shagasari and says, no, they're considered an Ara. Why? Because vis-a-vis the halachas of Mila, one could say, I'm not saying it's the only way, but l'chura, vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Mila, the mitzvah of Mila is to do the priya, to be megala da'atara, to the point of hilchos Mila, ha'arla. Yeah.
Right.
So we can make
the
bracha. Oh, according to my teretz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, now yeah. According to our mahal. So they ask that question. They ask in general, why do we make the bracha of Nisa Priso Shal Avram Avinu if Avram Avinu didn't have the mitzvah of... that question is asked. Yeah. Okay. So, l'chura, that's
the same. But in this case, that doesn't make sense.
What? Okay.
Alright,
Yeshlachkor, I hear. Now, both I want to add for you, add something that I think that is not well known, which is also Lechura Talu in this question. Rav Moshe Feinstein in Yoredei, Chelek Al Simin Kufne and Hay, writes in a Shuva that there's no problem for a Moel to do the Mila in such a way that he doesn't do the Priya separately. In other words, in Ramosha's time, they already found a way that they're able to do the Arla and be Megala Datara immediately. Ramosha says it's no problem. In other words, to sidestep the separate Maisa of Priya, where the Moel pushes down that extra skin. So here, what they do is they cut immediately, and that is Megala right away, to do it Bebasachas. Rav Shlomo Zalman disagreed. Rav Nevinzel told me, this is quoted in the Mishmas Avram, Rav Nevinzel told me that this is correct, his shita, that Rav Shlomo Zalman was makbid that the Moel should do the Chituch, and then should do the Priya separately. So L'chura, one could suggest that according to Rav Moshe, so then it's possible that what Rav Moshe is saying is that the whole mitzvah is the Giloyat, is the Giloy Atara. That's what the mitzvah of Priya is. You could go so far as to say that the mitzvah is an entirely new mitzvah. It's just the Gilui Atar. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman was being makbid for the following. Rav Shlomo Zalman was actually being makbid to emphasize that there are two parts of the mitzvah. It's not like what we had said, that when you had the mitzvah of Priya, the mitzvah was mischadeshes, that all you have to do is just the Gilui Atar. Shlomo Zalman was emphasizing, no, that there are two parts. Number one, you need to do the lichatkila. It's all lichatkila. Number one, you have to do the chituch. And number two, you have to do the priya. In other words, probably what Shlomo Zalman was being koshish for is what the Chochma Saldim was saying. That it's not enough just to do the gilui. But rather, you have to make sure to try to do both. Oh. According to Shlomo Zalman's Mahalach, yeah, go ahead.
The question with the Arela, like someone who's no there,
right.
The Stam Goy just did a brief milah, like a Jew did it. Does that count as anything? He doesn't have.
No, but Bnei Keturah does it as a Bar Chiyuv.
They have like a Chiyuv, like
yeah.
A Shabbat Mitzvah.
Yeah, yeah, it's a Bar Chiyuv. Yeah.
The same nature of the
yeah.
Mitzvah.
According to Rambam. Yeah, correct. So Rabosai, what emerges here is that there are two parts to the mitzvah of Mila. The Beis Halevi is Ma'arich, and Beis Halevi in this week's parasha is Ma'arich that the mitzvah of the Chituch and the mitzvah of the Priya correspond to two different parts. The mitzvah of Mila that is given in this week's parasha is the Bechina of Torah Shebichsav. And the mitzvah of Priya that's given in the time of Yehoshua, which is actually a Messiah. It's not a biblical chiyuv. It's something that Chazal had instituted. So that's representative of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And the Beis Halevi even uses the lashon that there are two bechinas over here. There's the bechina of Sur Meira, which is what the chituch represents, and then there's the bechina of Asei Tov. One of Yosef Chaim's Rabbeim, Rav Dermoni, was most of something beautiful to this. He said, Rav Dermoni said maybe that, he just mentioned to me, that it could be that the Priya is very interesting. The Chituch is thrown away, and the Priya is held on to. So Sur Meira is, what's the notion of Sur Meira? The notion of Sur Meira is to remove the negative. Asei Tov is to be mekadesh, is to hold on to the negative and to try to be mekadesh. So those are the two bechinas. There's one bechina of the arlof throwing it away, that's the sur meira. And then there's the other bechina of the priya, where kedusha is created by taking that arla, holding on to it, but at the same time being mekadesh. That's the bechina of the priya. So let's go back now to our observation. We saw that there are two parts to the mitzvah, the mitzvah of Mila and the mitzvah of Priya, and both of them are connected to Achnas and Eretz Yisrael. And we all know from our Rabbeim that there are two bechinas of Eretz Yisrael. There's the bechina of Avram Avinu and Eretz Yisrael, and that's the bechina of Shem Eretz Yisrael. And then Yehoshua represents the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, Kedusha Rishona of Yehoshua. So there are two parts of the bris. One is the first bris, which is our response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us the Shem Eretz Yisrael. And then there's another part of the Mila, and that is the part of the Priya, which represents Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Now, before we go on and develop why one is related to Shem Eretz Yisrael and the other is related to the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, let's just point out that they're mamish so parallel to each other. Both Mila and Eretz Yisrael are permanent marks on the guf. One is on man's guf, and the other is on God's guf, Kaviyachol. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu designates something on ourselves that we are forever marked with a certain Madrega of Kedusha. Of course, it's clearly not a coincidence that it's the Mokom HaYisod, the place that most of the world looks at in its most mundane sense, and we're Mekadesh it. But even it's there constantly with the person. And Eretz Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mark on the physical world, and he designates it as Eretz Asher Tamidei Ni Hashem Elokecha Bo. So the two are directly related to each other. But Yosem is that. Shame Eretz Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving to Avram Avinu, he's giving to Avram Avinu this place of Eretz Yisrael that's miyuchad for his zera, for his children. That corresponds to the Sur Meira of the mitzvah of Chituch. In other words, Klal Yisrael has a place, let's use the expression Bnei Avram. Bnei Avram has a place that's miyuchad for relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But comes Yoshua, and now there's Kedusha. What's the definition of Kedusha? The definition of Kedusha is the ability to take the Chomrios and be Mekadesh it. Not only the Bechina of Sur Meira, but even the Bechina of Aser Tov. Hence, the Priya, which is connected to the Kedusha of Yoshua, is this whole Bechina of not throwing away the Arla, but rather being Mekadesh, holding on to the Chomrios, holding on to that Klipa, and being Mekadesh. And be Mekadesh that klipa. So what emerges then is that Yesh Lachkar, it could very well be, according to some, that there was an entirely new mitzvah, or as the way Rav Shlomo Zalman in our Masorah left it, is that no, that the mitzvah of Mila has two distinct parts, it has the Chitach and it has the Priya, and those two different Bechinas are exactly the way the Beis HaLevi had set it up, the way the Chachmas Adam was Choshesh, that there are two parts. There's one Maisa that's the Maisa of Sur Meira, and the other is the Aseh Tov, and it could very well be that they correspond to the two levels, one of Avraham Avinu, the other of Yoshua, vis-a-vis Eretz Yisrael. Now, in terms of our own Avoda, I think that this Yisod is quite important. A lot of times, as we're struggling, as Ovdei Hashem, we straddle between two bechinas, and that is, how much do we focus on the Sur Meira, and how much do we focus on the Aseh Tov? And that's a very, very tough, that's a tough balance. It's not an easy balance. One thing is clear, that one needs both. And one can't assume that one will be successful with one without the other. Just a couple of contemporary examples. It's mind-boggling what the internet can do for us today. I know I'm repeating, everybody's talking about it, but as the Mesillas Yesharim says, the most basic things require the most chizuk. The koach of Harbatzas Torah, the koach of even Avodas Hashem that the internet has afforded us, it's mind-boggling. But at the end of the day, the dangers are extremely, extremely, extremely great. And a person who only focuses on the Aseh Tov and doesn't really actively spend time in thinking through exactly what is the appropriate Sur Meira, so then Chas V'Chalil, of course, the tool that could be used for tremendously great things could be a tool of terrible kilkul. And in so many other things in our Avodas Hashem, to really make a cheshbon, am I focusing too much of one or the other? There has to be a really important balance. Once a person has the healthy approach of Sur Meira, he's put things in the appropriate context, so then he can start talking about Kedusha. But if a person hasn't put his guidelines down, his guidelines aren't entirely clear in his own mind and in his own actions, so then in such a case, Kedusha is kemat impossible. So first there has to be the chituch. There has to be some things that's thrown away. And then the next step is to be mekadesh the chomrius. The first step is there needs to be a shem Eretz Yisrael, of that Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be miyached am skula. The next step then is to be mekadesh the chomrius. In terms of Shalom Bayis, this also applies. The balance. It's not enough just for us to think how we're going to be thoughtful and romantic and chule v'chule. Also, there needs to be in our minds, we also, when we make a cheshbon nefesh, we also have to think about what is the sur meira. There are certain no-nos, there are certain things that out of thoughtfulness that I don't do vis-a-vis my wife. And if a person is only thinking in the positive terms, what else can I do for her, what else can I do for her, but not thinking about what I shouldn't be doing, so then in such a case, chas v'chalila, there are things that could be tremendously hurtful. I've told you in the past that there are Talmidim who thought that they were very, very good husbands, and at the end of the day, because there weren't no-nos, they hadn't thought of things which are inappropriate for them to do, but we're only thinking about things that are positive, so then that chas v'chalila could lead to difficult circumstances. Finally, on the last level in our avodah, that's most relevant, Be'ezer Hashem, in terms of having children, when we're zocher to have children, there's another nekuda that's very, very important. And I want to sort of counterbalance what I spoke about in the past. In the past, we spoke about that the most important nekuda, and it's 100% true. And the most important nekuda in terms of raising children is giving warmth and love to children. That's the most important thing. I told you that I'm willing to do a study that I could kemat, and I'm not very capable in this regard, but I could kemat pick out, after a while speaking to a person, which individual got physical warmth and attention from their parents, and which chas v'chalila did not. Just basic, real basic physical attachment. And that means a parent playing with the child, a parent really giving warmth and love to the child. It's probably the most important thing in terms of chinuch habanim. Meidach gisa, if it's not balanced with asur meira, it's only ma'asei tov, then also there are things that can come out that are very, very dangerous. My wife has a friend who is a very, very bright, capable girl, and she's had a very, very tough life. And my wife told me that she was one of the smartest girls in high school, but she didn't even graduate high school. Now, obviously, this is a little bit extreme. We're talking about someone who's extremely, extremely bright. She learns Gemara very, very well, and she's a very, very capable girl, very fine woman. But she didn't even finish high school. I'm using the extreme to concretize the yisod. And the reason she didn't finish high school is because her parents' shita was like, I don't know what they were, what do they call them from the 60s, flower children? Hippies? I remember that her parents, they were fine people. But Lemafreya, my wife told me that her parents' shita was that they never told her what to do. That they weren't going to force her to do school, so she didn't finish high school. We're talking about someone who, when she was in school, had 95, 98 average, but she probably never finished high school. She later became a teacher without a high school degree. And unfortunately, that lack of structure still, she still struggles with adayom hazeh. Now, this is an extreme example, but the yisod is a very, very important yisod. And that is that parents have to have to really, really be mindful, aside from that love and emotional attachment and so on and so forth, is really to do their best to give consistent hagdaros. And the word here is consistent. Consistency is extremely, extremely important, that the guidelines are consistent for children. Once a child has consistent guidelines, whatever those guidelines are, then they have a sense of stability. They have a sense of stability of what's right and what's wrong. Now, for sure, we're going to fail. We're not always consistent. And my wife will tell me it's very, very easy for me to say when I spend most of the time in yeshiva, and when she's juggling 100 things at home, it's much, much harder, for sure. So it's not our job, chas v'chalila, to be tovea or wise on this. But at the same time, in terms of setting the tone in the house and so on, a consistent set of Sur Meirah is something that's very, very important. With that Be'ezer Hashem, if we have those two Bechinas, the Kedusha, the warmth, and at the same time, also the Sur Meirah, Be'ezer Hashem will be Zocha to all the Kedusha that Eretz Yisrael represents, and Be'ezer Hashem with that will be Zocha to the fulfillment of the Kiyum HaBris.